Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Oh, baby. I'm recording this on September 14th. We're only 3 days away from the start of this historic Detroit Lions 2023-2024 Super Bowl season. That's right. And it all starts in Kansas City on Thursday night where the Lions are underdogs, as you would expect. But, man, we're going to be covering that on this podcast. We're going to be talking about key matches on offense and the defense against this Kansas City offense and defense. Who is our roar of the week? Which player is going to stick out in this game by the end? And then, of course, our ever-famous predictions. That's right. And this is a big one, folks. The first game of this historic Lions season. Oh, man, I am so ready. You can just tell I'm jazzed up. And you can sense that enthusiasm in the podcast that we recorded. So, man, just everybody listening, grab that Kool-Aid. Grab your biggest thing of Kool-Aid you got. Sit back, relax, because it's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid Birds! We're back, baby! We are back! It is September 4th, which means we're only 3 days away from the start of this NFL season and the Detroit Lions playing the first game of that NFL season against the defending Super Bowl champs, the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you believe it? Oh, man. I mean, this is surreal. The most hyped up Lions season possibly in my lifetime. And that's corroborated by the fact that this is the first time the Lions have ever sold out all their season tickets at Ford Field. And I know the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew is excited, too. So let's introduce everybody before we get going here. I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Oh, hello, everybody. I'm so excited.
And then we got Rudna.
Yo.
All right, gentlemen. So, and if Bob and Connor are not able to join, we'll give their predictions for the game at the end of the episode in our predictions segment. But, man, gentlemen, just before we even get into talking about this game, just how psyched are you for Thursday night? And, I mean, we've been waiting for this since, I don't know, the end of last season.
This feels like when I was a kid waiting for Christmas. It's like, you're so excited.
Like Christmas?
Like a kid waiting for Christmas.
Really?
UJ?
Oh.
How pumped are you?
Oh, I'm definitely excited. I'm going to stay up. Oh, I'm...
What, you didn't get excited for Christmas when you were a kid?
I don't know. I'm very psyched. I'm very psyched about this game. In fact, this is the most excited I've been about a Lions opener in my lifetime. I'll say that. My lifetime. I'm pretty old. So, there you go.
Wow.
I like it. So, the Lions are 6.5-point underdogs going into this game. Do you guys think we're being disrespected with that line, or is it a fair line?
Yeah.
Disrespected.
Underestimated.
I think it's just the Lions have never even, like, they've won one playoff game in their lifetime, right? And they're going against the Super Bowl champs. They're getting their rings, all that good stuff.
Not to mention the success rate for Mahomes at home on openers.
Right. But the Chiefs do sometimes have struggles at the beginning of the season, like a lot of 2-2 starts in recent memory. And openers maybe an exception to that. But either way, I do think there's some opportunities for the Lions here. What was that, Road Dog?
I believe I heard 9-0 at home.
In openers?
Yeah, for Mahomes. So
I don't hit. This is a season that's made to break records and history in many ways. One will be the Lions winning the Super Bowl, but another will be this. We'll start by breaking an undefeated trend here.
Yeah,
but UJ, just what do you think about the Lions going into Kansas City, this environment, and this time that they're going to have ahead of them?
Well, I think personally you couldn't have asked for anything better than this opening setup for the Lions. I mean, after coming off the way we did last season, and this team is primed for big stuff. And everyone we picked up in the offseason, this team is headed for the stratosphere, baby. And I think the best thing that could happen for the Lions is to play the Super Bowl champs on the opening day in their field. You couldn't ask for anything better than this. And I think Campbell is I think this whole team is relishing this opportunity. Mm-hmm. They're just eating this up, man. It's going to be great. I think they couldn't ask for anything better. And, Chiefs are going to be, I hope they're ready because they're going to be facing a buzzsaw on the Lions, baby.
Yeah, UJ, I'm with you. I mean, this is the ultimate test right away. You're going against the Super Bowl champs in their in the most hostile environment possibly in the sport. This is going to be an electric crowd in Kansas City. They always are. It's super loud there. The stadium's kind of built that way to really reverberate the noise, make it really hard on the opposing. So Lions are going to go silent count all game, most likely, unless they take the lead early. Important to maybe silence that crowd a little bit so that they don't have to deal with that maybe throughout the game if they're able to take an early lead.
That crowd is going to be a really exciting
challenge for them right away.
It's a challenge. It's a test, but it's an opportunity as well. It's like a chance to go in and take a shot at the top dog, make a statement right away to set the tone for your season. That's part of what makes it so great. Like, you want to be take on the best. You got to take on the best to be the best, and this game symbolizes that.
Definitely, and I want to turn this focus out to the game, some of these and some of the keys to the game and some of the key matchups that we might see throughout this game. And I just want to start with one right here. We're going to start with like the Lions offense against the Kansas City Chiefs defense. And I think the fact that the Chiefs are missing Chris Jones, who is holding out for he's trying to be the highest paid defensive tackle in the league, similar to Aaron Donald's payment, like $30 million a year or something, I believe Aaron Donald's getting. Either way, Chris Jones, easily like the best D tackle in the league after Aaron Donald, but it's really close though. This guy is super dominant, plays inside and outside, easily their best defender by a wide margin, and he's not going to play in this game because he's holding out. He said all the way to week 8, which can cost him $17 million, something like that. But either way, he is not playing this game, most likely. They said there's a chance he could play, but it's very small at this point. And I think that's going to be a major advantage for this Lions offensive line against this Chiefs defense.
Bothers me.
What bothers you?
It's fine whether he plays or not. Like, I don't care. What bothers me is this mentality around everyone beginning all excited about Chris Jones not playing. I want them at their best. I don't want some, Chris Jones-less Chiefs. I want their best shot. I want the Lions to walk in there and roll right over the Chiefs regardless of Chris Jones. So, like, all this, like, oh, I'm so excited. It's great for the Lions that Chris Jones is out. Like, screw that. Like, I hate that mentality. And the Lions don't have that mentality.
At the end of the day, do you care if he plays or not? If the Lions win, I don't.
Like I just said, I don't care if he plays or not. Like I, but like this whole idea that I care that everyone's so excited that he's not gonna play. I like, why do you want like one of the good players on the other team? Like, I don't like to face a disadvantaged team. I like to face the best team can offer. Like that, just, you know, I think that's the warrior mentality, and those frickers, the Lions get that mentality. So I'm not worried about that, but it does bother me how much it's just out there in a common, like, talk. Just,
I mean, it's undoubtedly such a weak mindset. It's undoubtedly better for the Lions that he is not playing than if he was playing.
Better in what way?
Like, would you agree with that notion?
Better than what way?
Than if he was playing.
I don't know. Yeah. Would have been better if David didn't get a shot at Goliath. I don't know. You know, like, I'd want to see the.
I don't understand your point of view.
What's okay? Fine. Technically, strategically, yes. It makes it hard a little easier or something to potentially beat the Chiefs. But it takes one of their best players off the field. Obviously, there's an advantage to that. But I don't want that advantage.
It would be different if he's injured, but the fact that he's just holding out on his own makes me feel not as, you know, bad about that in any way.
I don't feel bad about it. It's just I don't care if he plays or not. I just would rather, you know, if I'd rather have a good player play, you know, than not. I wish we could turn off injuries like in Madden, or, well, I guess this isn't injuries, but anyway, no. That's how I feel about it.
UJ, do you have an opinion?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of feel the same way. I like to take their best shot, but in the end, I don't care. When game time goes around, we beat those guys, I'm not going to care one way or the other. I just want to beat them. I mean, it's the NFL, baby. You know, next man up. It's always the motto. So, you know, Chris Johnson's not going to be there. Next man up for them. So, same thing if we lost one of our best guys. Next man up. So, doesn't matter.
And I think all of us agree that we think the Lions have like a top five offensive line, and this is the defensive line that the Kansas City's throwing out there. George Karloftis, who's okay. I wouldn't call him an elite pass rusher right now.
Solid young player who could grow.
Solid. He's more like a bull rushing type, though, and he plays left defensive end against Sewell. So
yeah,
I
he's
like
not
Sewell
keeping you up at night.
But Mike Dana, Tershawn Wharton, Derek Nandi, who's okay. I just think without Chris Jones, it's a major boon in this advantage that I think the Lions already had coming to this game. But now especially when you don't get the benefit of the snap count on in an environment like this, I think it helps out the Lions in that regard.
Yeah.
But Red Dog, what are you looking for the Lions to do in this game offensively against this Chiefs defense, which – it's very flexible. They play a lot of different fronts. They switch up their defense a lot. One time it's 70% man. The next week it's all zone. What do you think the Chiefs are going to try to throw out of the Lions?
I don't know what they're going to throw out. They're going to throw out whatever they're going to throw out. But
well, that's what I'm asking. What do you think they're going to do?
I don't know. Try to stop us. That's not the right question. The question is, what are the Lions going to do? And the Lions are going to dominate. And they're going to run over this defense roughshod. And this is going to put us – that's where they're going to just put the league on notice. There's just too many ways. Even if Chris Jones is there, there's too many ways this offense can hurt you, and they're going to do it. They got the offense. They can do it physically. They can beat you with speed. They can beat you with strategy. This offense is ready to, you know, just tear this league apart. You know, last year, look how good they were last year, and we have upgraded in a lot of ways. I just think they're going to be unstoppable.
UJ?
Yeah, the Chiefs have a conundrum here. The Chiefs have a little conundrum here. You know, do you try to – I mean, obviously you try to stop the run first of all. But our run game is pretty solid. And if we can just get a little thing – you know, some things going on in the run game, that play-action pass for Goff is going to be deadly, man, with those mid-range passes, Amon-Ra and everybody and Laporta now. And then – The way I see this game playing out, the Lions' offense is going to be really good against this Chiefs' defense, and the Chiefs' offense is, well, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but I do think that we're going to obviously try to establish a run first. If we can kick ass with the run right in the beginning, that's awesome. But if not, our Goff and the play action pass game is going to tear them apart one way or the other. So I think the Chiefs' main goal is really just to stop our run game right now. First of all, if you're asking me straight what the Chiefs wanted to do, they need to stop our run.
Okay, I have.
If they
an
do
answer,
that,
then
they may have a chance. But anyway,
I have a better answer to that part of the question after listening to you, Jay. I would say unsettle Goff. They're going to want to try to attack Goff and make him uncomfortable because, I mean, yeah, the run game is really important, but if you let Goff get rolling, he's deadly. And he's best when, you know, he's at his worst, like any quarterback, really, but, you know, more less than some when you get him off his spot and you really make him uncomfortable. He is a pocket quarterback.
For sure. But I think the Lions are going to be able to protect that pocket. I'm really interested to see how the Lions' right guard plays. I'm assuming Big B will be starting in there at least to start the game.
That's what I'm thinking.
And I'll be really interested to see how he holds up.
Do you think they rotate?
They might.
They talk about having six starters. Like they really talk about Glasgow like he's a starter. I could see, like, I think Big V has the advantage simply by being, you know, that camaraderie he has with Sewell. Like that to me gives him the edge to be the first starter. But like here's like, you know, like look at how great our defensive line will be, which we'll get into more about how flexible they can be. Glasgow might have strengths that, you know, Big V doesn't have, like in pass pro and stuff. Like it could work out nicely if we could, you know, for different teams, you switch them or something.
Well, the Lions love to play that six offensive lineman is on the edge, like kind of like a blocking tight end a lot. And like Matt Nelson was used a lot as like the swing tackle type.
He's still around
prior years, but maybe Glasgow will fill that role. He's more of an interior offensive lineman, though, so maybe Matt Nelson will still be in that
still
role.
Still probably better than Nelson overall as a blocker, though.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see who they put out there. Maybe Sorensdahl. I don't know.
Could be all of them.
Could be all of them. But, you know, some the linebackers, Nick Bolton is a pretty good one that the Chiefs are out there. They think their strength. They had a lot of young guys at the outside last year. But Trent McDuffie and Lajarius Sneed were two rookies. And this is their second year, so maybe the Lions can still take an advantage there. I wouldn't call that a strength of this team. Like, this defense usually starts off rough at the beginning of the year, historically, under Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs' defense coordinator. But Justin Reed's a really good, strong safety.
And Chris Jones was their punch.
Their punch?
Well, he was the thing that turned that, like you said, he was the thing that gave him a real defense that could like get him through a Super Bowl. Like he was the teeth of that defense. Like that defense was not great, but they had one super great player that like just gave them enough to put games away.
Definitely. But I think the Lions can take advantage a lot in using the play action in this game. But part of that does come with establishing the run, like UJ mentioned. I really like our offense against this defense of the Chiefs, and the biggest disadvantage is the audience for sure. UJ, I guess George Kolaitis is the biggest threat.
I'm so excited.
And the interior, I know. But Nandi is more of a he's been more of a good product when Chris Jones is out there because Chris Jones just takes on a double team. So, again, these are a lot of names you probably don't know on the Chiefs' defensive side of the ball besides maybe Justin Reed and Trey McDuffie, the first-round pick. Willie Gay's been around a little bit. But I just really like this matchup of the offensive line versus the defensive line, and I think it starts there. Just kind of like we mentioned in our season preview, that's the strength of this team. That's what it was built through. And they're going to put that to their advantage in this game. Did you guys want to touch on anything else on the offensive side of the ball before we move to the other side?
No, I think they're going to tear it up.
All right, beautiful. Let's move to the defensive side of the ball now. The Lions defense versus the Chiefs offense. This is the more fascinating matchup maybe from a Lions fan perspective. And, just in terms of seeing how much growth has this team made from year one or year two to year three in terms of the defense. Because the Lions last year got off to a historically absolutely horrendous start defensively. It was atrocious. Yeah. It was almost every imaginable way possible.
So bad.
Without that bad start, the Lions would have been in the playoffs without a doubt. I mean, they lost the game 45-42 to the Seahawks. That should say everything you need to know.
Didn't make them punt in the first half.
Right.
Did they punt not at all in the whole game or something like that? Wasn't it? It was ridiculous.
I don't think so.
It was so bad.
But anyways, so obviously Patrick Mahomes, the big name here on offense, and Travis Kelce, the tight end. Those two names go without saying. But the strength of the Chiefs now, arguably, is also, besides those two players, is they have built out a really dynamic offensive line. Creed Humphrey at center. Joe Thuney of Patriots lore now has been playing over Chiefs the last couple of years at left guard. Donovan Smith, they just signed as a free agent at left tackle. They also signed Juwan Taylor from the Jaguars for large money at right tackle. And then Trey Smith at right guard. That's a loaded offensive line, probably on par with the Lions in terms of strength. And I do think the Lions have a little more depth at defensive line to go against this as opposed to the other way around. But I want to focus there before we get on, like, the wide receivers and the passing game. UJ, I want to go to you first. The Lions defensive line versus this pretty staunch Kansas City offensive line.
Yeah, my thoughts on this are that the Lions front seven is the key to this whole game. It's the key to the whole game. As they go, so go the Lions in this game. But I think the Chiefs, I think they're going to surprise them with their sheer energy, strength, and speed. They're gonna be a handful. I don't care how good that old line is. This front of ours, and plus we have so many fresh legs now. I mean, the fact that they kept all these guys and didn't cut anybody is kind of phenomenal. I think this defensive front is just going to be devastating to the Chiefs. It's going to give them hell all day. That's what I think. So as they go, so do the Lions in this game.
Absolutely. You, Rud Dog?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a huge matchup because, you know, you got to control Mahomes and that starts up front. And I think they're going to have to play really disciplined, really aggressive football because, you know how Mahomes is. Like, he's going to slip out and make some shit happen. And that's what Dan said. Like, if you get him running the other way and then just make sure he just keeps running that way, doesn't get turned back that way, the other way at all. Like, you got to get after this guy. And, like, that's really hard to do when you also have to be disciplined and make sure you don't let him slip out. But I do think this front seven has the talent to do that. Our front, you know, our actual front is just loaded with just big, strong, explosive dudes. I think they're going to be absolutely a handful for even a really good offensive line to handle. And then I think our upgraded linebacker is going to really shine here, where, like, I think Jack Campbell just adds such a presence and weight to that box. It's going to be really hard to run against us. And combine that with, like, Rodrigo being a little freaking cannonball, or Barnes being, you know, if he really, like, develops into what we think he is and what they're saying is, if he beats out Campbell, if he has beat out Campbell for that starting spot, I'm so excited to see what he shows, because he could be an absolute stud in the run game. So I really love what we have to offer against really any team this year in the front seven, just that we've upgraded so much and have so much talent there that I think we'll do just fine with this matchup. In fact, I think they're going to really make Mahomes struggle with discipline, aggressive, successful pass rush.
Definitely. And I'm really intrigued to see how this Lions defensive line aligns itself. They and who is playing what snaps, because the Lions, as we mentioned in the preview podcast, they are rolling extremely deep a defensive mm-hmm. line. I want to see who's getting what reps in this game. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson probably won't come off the field too much.
You know who won't be? Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Aiden Hutchinson won't be. Is there someone else you want to add?
Yeah, Isaiah Bugs.
Oh, he won't be on the field.
Yeah.
I haven't really read a ton into that situation. I think it's kind of silly, all the headlines and stuff from it.
Well, like, I think I figured this would come up at some point. I thought it was a good time would be discussing the D-line depth we have on this team, because I think it hit him really hard, and I can really sympathize with how he's feeling right now. Like, I feel bad for him. It's tough, but I think he's actually handling it pretty professionally. He just kind of philosophized a little bit online, and everyone took context and, you know, and ran with it. Like, the fact that he is going to be not suited up for this game, I think just highlights the depth, because my theory, I don't think the Lions are petty. I don't think they're playing games with him. I think they decided the best strategy was going to be the guys they're going to roll with, and Bugs just didn't fit that strategy this game. It's a very specific opponent, and I have a feeling you're going to see various players throughout the season deactivated that you wouldn't expect, because we're rolling so deep at defensive line. And some games, you know, maybe you want to roll heavier. Some games, maybe you want a little more spunk up front. You know, whatever, like, I think you might see. But we just have so many dudes, and I think that those decisions are going to be tough every week for who's going to be deactivated.
Definitely, definitely. And I want to see if they how much stunting they're going to go do, too, against this offensive line versus just straight-up, like, one-on-one matchups on the outside, like Hutch. Are they just going to let him go free, or are they going to do more slanting on the inside? Really excited for the debut of Broderick Martin in this game too. How is he stack? He's getting the elite right away to start his career. So, I
will he be activated?
Broderick Martin, I think he will.
Have we at the final game day rosters yet?
Yeah, I think he will.
No, we won't get that till like I think the day before. So, and we're
it's a day or two before. So, I mean, we don't. What I'm just so curious. Like, that's what this bugs thing really brought up to me, is just who is going to be actually activated, because we assembled our roster so uniquely, I feel like, this year by loading it with defensive talent.
Definitely.
Well, they did interview Bugs, though, just so you know that. Yeah. They interviewed Bugs, and he said they told him straight up. They weren't like being sly about it or anything. They told him straight to his face that they were doing it. And I think he was just hurt by the whole thing, you know, that he wasn't going to be able to play in this game, which is such a big, you know, big game. Mm-hmm. And but he's, you know, like you said, Road Dog, he's handling it pretty much like a professional. So
he is.
I think all is good on that front.
I think they just created a demon that the league is going to look out for the rest of the season, because I think that man is going to be on a freaking mission after this. Like, he just had the rug pulled from under him a little bit, but he's got the right mindset about it. I bet you he's a handful at practice.
Does he have the right mindset? Wasn't he, like, deleting everything on social media and kind of whining?
Kind of, but I don't know. All I'm saying is I would be so upset if, like, I'm thinking Chiefs, champion, you know, Super Bowl champs week one, I'm expecting to play, like, you know, I'm just all in, and then all of a sudden you find out you're not, like, and you had no warning, like, even though technically, you know, everything's fair play and you always have to be kind of on your guard in the NFL, but, like, still, like, to just suddenly get the rug pulled out, that's got to just be so freaking hard. And when he did, you know, he waxed a little bit philosophically. I mean, he did some, I guess taking down the pictures is probably the worst thing. But I still think he's going to put his head down and he's going to come back. Or we'll move on from him, because if he becomes a problem, they're not going to put up with it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I want to move down to the passing game a little bit. We haven't really mentioned just facing Patrick Mahomes. Dan Campbell said the best way to defend Patrick Mahomes is to make him run backwards and never have him turn around and throw it forward. It was just a weird way to answer the question. But,
that's what I said earlier.
Pretty much, he said anytime he's throwing it forward, you're in a problem. But, you know, the real key here is for defense just to defend Travis Kelce, because I don't think this is a strong receiving core. Kadarius Toney, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Sky Moore, all kind of toolsy guys, but definitely not number one wide receiver types that can take over a game. They're more like they play the game plan. A guy to look out for, I think, underrated is Justin Ross. Watch out for that guy. He's a rookie from Clemson. Had a great camp. But I just want to throw that in. But anyways, stop Travis Kelce. I think you probably have a good shot at winning this game. Because, I mean, what does he get? Like, he averages like 8 catches a game. And they just move him around. They'll put him in motion constantly throughout this game. Use him as decoy, too. So, but him and Mahomes have always been on another level. For a while now. I mean, And who do you think is going to be in charge of defending Kelce? Are we going to put Anzalone on at first to see what he could do? Or does Brian Branch kind of take on that role a little more than we're expecting?
Well, I think you're going to make it a multi-person job. You might have a man dedicated to him, but he's going to always be considered on every single play by, I think, more than one person. Like, he's going to be bracketed. He's going to be over top, underneath. I mean, my first instinct on the best person to kind of put on him up front would be Jack Campbell. I think he's our biggest, most athletic linebacker who could actually kind of not lose in the size matchup that Kelce has over everyone else. And he's so agile. I think put him man and make Kelce see if he can make Kelce struggle to get off the line and things like that. I'd get up in his grill a little bit with something like that. Like, Jack Campbell's the kind of guy you could throw at a tight end like that and maybe bully him a little bit. That's my what I would think, but I'm very curious because I think Brian Branch will definitely play a factor. I think CJGJ is going to play a big factor in it. Like, the secondary, this is obviously the matchup, right? Like, you're right, this offense, everyone knows the quarterback and the tight end. Like, most people can hardly name anyone else except for maybe like Pacheco if you're a little like more like, you know, like, so I mean, the big thing is stopping that connection and not letting it kill you, because that's what it does. Like, it's right. That motor for everything else. I mean, the O-line and stopping that run is going to be really important, but that's just the pinnacle connection right there that drives everything. So you bracket that, you shut it down, make it really hard. I think they're going to have a hard day.
High line,
yeah,
Kelce.
I think I kind of agree a little bit with Doug's head. I think the main guy though is going to be Brian Branch in this endeavor, but I also think we're going to be trusting our corners to take their guys man for man, and we're going to look for a lot of safety help on Kelce, and like you say, boxing him in and trying to not let him kill us, you know. So they're going to put a lot of faith in our corners and faith in our pass rush that we're going to be able to harass Holmes a bit. And we need extra help on Kelce, though. That guy just is a game wrecker. And when he gets going and Mahomes and him start hooking up, I've seen him wreck too many games. And it's devastating what they can do, those two guys. And so I think it's their obvious key matchup. They have to stop Kelce no matter what. And it's going to be a team effort. But if I'm going to say one guy is going to be kind of – I think they're going to look for Branch to do that. I think he's earned enough trust in them right here. He's going to – I think he can do it. So let's see what happens, baby. But
how much do we see of Jack Campbell in this game, do you think?
I think we see a decent amount of him personally. I think it's going to be Barnes at first, and as Campbell gets in there and then see him what he can do on some passing situations, I think he's going to slowly earn more and more playing time as the season goes here. But
mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah,
half and half, Barnes, maybe.
It sounds like Barnes won that job for now, anyway. They're giving him. It sounds like he at least getting sort of like the veteran respect, and like he's put it together. So I'm very curious to see what he brings. But you know, Jack Campbell's going to be in there a good amount, in whatever capacity. Because like, you send him on a blitz, you got a 6'5" blitzer that can move super fast. Like, there's so many ways you could use him. Just like you could use Rodrigo. Like, those dudes will see playing time. They're weapons, if not, you know, consistent players.
Definitely. And I just am really excited also to see how much has Lee McNeil improved from year two to year three.
Huge.
I'm really excited to see that because we've heard a lot of positive things coming about that. Charles Harris is healthy. Can he get back to the same level he was 2 years ago? Against an elite offensive line right here.
Yeah, I'm curious to see him because he gets so much respect, like, from the staff, from the team, like, and we haven't really seen a whole lot from him. He had that one good, like, decent season with us when we first got him, and then he got hurt after getting a safety in week two last year. But, I'm very curious because, you know, they think so highly of him, but we got guys like James Houston who you're like, you know, you're thinking he's going to take playing time from him. You still got Kaminsky. You got Pascal. So, it sounds like Harris has been given the role, so he must have been showing it somewhere.
Yeah. This is just going to be a really fun match. You talk about a barometer for how good your defense is going against probably the best offense in the entirety of the NFL. It's a Super Bowl champion.
Soon to be second best after this run.
Yes. man, what a matchup, this offense versus our defense. I didn't even mention Isaiah Pacheco, late round draft pick by the Chiefs, that really stepped up for them in the second half of the season last year, as a really just a hard-nosed runner, hard to bring down, quick little guy too. They also have Jerick McKinnon. He's more of a receiving third down back now in this offense. They do have Clyde Edwards-Helaire still there, but he's more of a third back. I mean, this is just a loaded offense. It's just going to be a lot of fun to see this defense tested right away.
So fun.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But let's dive in now to our first one of the year, gentlemen. It's our ever-famous predictions. Okay, actually, yeah. So our predictions are covering two things now. First is, who do you think will be the pick to click for the game? Or I'm sorry.
The king of the week.
Sorry, our roar of the week. Roar!
We need to work on that.
Maybe our producer could add a more menacing sound, and maybe we'll come up with our name. Listeners, if you have a better name for Roar of the Week,
or I was thinking like the King of the Week or something
on any side of the ball, shoot it to us at our Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. But I want to start with you, Rud Dog. Who is your Roar of the Week for this game?
Well, my vote first is for King of the Week. I think that like the Lion King of the Week, but oh God, there's so many good choices. Oh my gosh. Like, you know, on the one hand, I want to say maybe Gibbs, because I think he's just going to be outright deadly from the get-go. But then I also can't wait to see what David Montgomery is about to do this week. Oh my God, like that guy. I think he's going to have a terrific season with this O-line. And Goff, freaking, I don't know, Gibbs. There's so many choices. But, Hutch. I'm going to go with Gibbs, though, because I just think he's going to have a really big day.
Gibbs, all right. I love it. I love it. And again, against this defense, too, I think he has the advantage in the linebacker matchup. I like that a lot. UJ.
Okay, I'm going to – are we going offense, defense, or just overall?
One player, either side.
Okay, I'm going to go with Montgomery. I think Montgomery's going to just be running so hard, and I think our run game's going to get really moving in this game, and where it's really going to come into play is in the second half, because I see this team, I think our advantage is going to be our defense over their defense, so I see us having a lead in the second half that we're going to start grinding the ground game out, and Montgomery's just going to have a field day. I think he's just going to get 100-plus yards and probably most of it in the second half. So this is the kind of thing we've always been looking for. Campbell's been looking for too. The guy that can run clock, run, you know, get yards, get first downs, and just grind a team down, you know. So I think what Campbell wants is get in that situation in the second half where we can wear the Chiefs defense down. And we're going to do that with David Montgomery. He's the bell cow. You know, he's not the flashy one, but he's going to be tough as nails. And in that second half, I think he's just going to be amazing. So I'm going to go with Montgomery.
It's going to be so fun to see him in this offense. To see, is it really a step up from Jamal Williams like they're paying him to be? Because a lot of people think, like, well, I don't know, I wouldn't give Jamal Williams that because he had such a great year last year. But a lot, there's been a lot of talk about David Montgomery's a better back. So let's see it. Let's see if the proof is in the pudding. A lot, I think a lot, all of us believe that that will be the case. But nonetheless, we say these things, but we got to see it. Now it's time to see it. So I love it, UJ. I love it. I'm trying to pull up, I believe, Bob and Connor sent their picks. So the chat, Connor said Laporta's going to pop. Sam Laporta, that is our first round tight end out of Iowa, although we've had a lot of conversations about on here. And then Bob also went with Jahmyr Gibbs, 2 touchdowns in his debut, he says.
Woo! I love it.
I am going to go with a defensive player. And as much as I want to say Hutch, I think Brian Branch is going to be the biggest factor in this game. So that's my roar of the week for the Lions. I think he's going to have at least 6 tackles in this game. I think he's going to force the fumble. I don't know if we'll recover it or not. The crystal ball is a little foggy. Who came up with the ball is just a dog pile. You know, I couldn't really see who came up with it. But I think he's going to force the fumble at some point in this game. Deflect one pass as well. He's just going to be all over this field. And this is going to be his coming out party on the national stage, and I'm so excited to see what he can do against this defense. I think he's the Chiefs. He's going to give the Chiefs a big problem that they haven't quite seen before. I think he's that unique of a talent. I can't believe he fell to us. Still can't.
So amazing.
Believe it. It's quite remarkable, actually. So those are our roars of the week. And if you have a better name, give it to us on X at Drinking Lions or Twitter or Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. But now I want to throw it over to our ever famous game score predictions where I'm trying to pull it up right now. The Lions are 6.5-point underdogs, as I mentioned before. And the over-under is really high, really high. It is 54.5. That's the highest of the week on the opening game. And the last time, producer KJ, remind us, what was the score of the Lions, the Rams Chiefs last time they played in that Monday Night Football game where Goff, the last time he played Mahomes?
It was like 54 to 52 or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was something insane. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but maybe our producer KJ can give us in a moment. Either way, it was a high-scoring game, so Goff has Patrick Mahomes' number in that term. He's 1-0 against him. 54-51. Yeah, you're close, Road Dog. Just an insane, insane Monday night game. I think that was when the Rams were playing at the Coliseum, too.
It was a great game.
Absolutely. So maybe we'll expect more 50-point games against the Chiefs here for Goff. But let's start with you, Road Dog. Give us your prediction on this game.
All right, baby. Yeah, this is definitely one of those matchups where it's just like a lot of people are doubting us, you know? Like, I mean, understandably so. But I think we're going to really shut them up after this one. And I think in a really impressive manner. Not only do I think our defense is going to handle Mahomes, I think they're going to handle him soundly. I think we've built a team that has the tools to just be oppressive and explosive and make plays. I think we're going to pick him off 3 times. One for CJGJ, one for Brian Branch, and one for Kirby. And Hutch is going to rack up a couple sacks. McNeil's going to have a sack and a half. There's going to be some just blood. It's going to be a bloodbath, okay? And like Brett Dan said, they're just going to basically have Mahomes running backwards. He's not going to have a time to throw the ball. He's going to be throwing the ball away to save his damn life. And that's what I think is going to happen on the defense. On offense, I think we're going to get the over on this one. I think you're right, Z. I'm feeling a 54-plus game here. I'm going with 55 points. They're going to get the over by themselves against the national, the Super Bowl champs, and everyone in the NFL is going to just have their jaws on the floor and be like, start shaking in their boots, you know, releasing bowels involuntarily. Just anyone on the Lions' schedule is just going to be terrified of what's coming their way.
So the Lions score 55. What is the Chiefs score?
0.
So 50. The Lions win 55-0.
Yeah, they crush them. Murder. Right. Oh, I just got one. The kill of the week, or the one who got the, you know, the guy who got the kill of the week, something like that for the Because, like, they're lions, you know? They get the kill. The one who gets the kill is sort of like the bad answer. Yeah, something like that.
Or Hunt of the Week. Or
Hunter of the Week. Yeah. Killer of the Week.
All right. We'll keep workshopping, but I like where we're heading. I like where we're headed. Like
yeah, share your ideas, y'all.
That's a good direction. All right, UJ.
Okay. I think turnovers are going to be a key in this game, too. I think the Lions get two of them. I say we don't turn it over in this game. So we'll be plus two in the turnover department. I think it'll be one pick and one fumble. And I think they're coming the second half. And this is what's going to frustrate the Chiefs. And like I was talking about earlier with Montgomery, I think we're going to have a – I think we're going to win by more than one score, okay? So it's by more than eight. I'm going to say 21. I mean, the Chiefs are going to get their due. I mean, they're going to score. We're not going to shut them out. That's a damn good team there. But this defense is really going to shock people. It's going to be really good. And I think in that second half, you're going to get frustrated. Mahomes throw a pick. And at a key time, too, when they could just get back in the game, you know, it's going to be one of those kind of things, you know. They're just getting back in it. They just score here. We're within a score, and that's when it's going to happen. And the Lions are going to just have a great defensive performance, and Montgomery is going to run roughshod in that second half, baby. We're going to pound clock and yards. And it's actually 35-21, and, yeah, this is the coming-out party for this Detroit Lions team, baby. Look out, NFL. It's going to be awesome. So
I like it, UJ.
My prediction.
A little unrealistic, but I like it.
You mean all them points they scored? Yeah, I know.
So say your score again one more time, UJ.
35-21.
All right, 35-21. I like it. I like it. And you have the – and of course – so far, both of us – both of you have predicted the Lions to win.
True.
So we have Connor predicting the Lions win 28-20 over the Chiefs. So he has the under in that regard. Bob has the Lions winning 35-30. So that one goes over. And that includes his Gibbs 2 touchdowns, obviously. I have a close game, but of course the Lions pulling it out. At the end, it's 31-27. I have as the final score. I think that 54.5 is pretty good. And I think if you hold the Chiefs under 30, the Lions win this game. That's my opinion. And that's a pretty damn good job at defense if you hold this offense under 30 points. So don't let that final score fool you, possibly. It was a little high because this is a high-powered offense, as we mentioned throughout this podcast. So you picked them. You picked them. You picked them. We all picked the Lions to win.
Oh, my.
But let's see if our producer, Kid J, predict the Lions to win. Producer Kid J, really quick, chime in. What do you have as your prediction for this game?
Here we go.
Lions will win 24-21.
Kid J. I love it.
There we go, baby. There we go. All right. So everybody predicts the Lions to win. Everybody thinks the Lions are severely underrated, of course, because we drink the blue Kool-Aid on this podcast, of course. All right. So
do the scores represent our level of Kool-Aid drinking? Our predictions?
I don't know.
That's all I was thinking is you need to drink more Kool-Aid. You guys are underestimating.
55-0. That we don't pick them by 50 points every week.
Underestimated.
Not a lot. But, man, gentlemen, we are just about done with this podcast, but we are not done with getting ready for Thursday. We just won't be. So hopefully we can post some things on social media for you leading up to that game. We have Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions, of course, as I mentioned. Give us a name for the Roar of the Week. That's our current working name, at least for this week. Maybe we go to Kill the Week, and then we get a better suggestion. Or maybe we roll. Maybe it'll grow on us. Something will grow. But anyways, throw it out. And then also give your predictions as well. Who is your Roar, your Kill of the Week, and then what is the final score prediction? Let us know. Social medias. Or you can just email us, and we'll, read off the closest prediction. Our email is drinkingablukoolaid@gmail.com. I should go out there. And thank you to one of our listeners, actually, for suggesting an audio update. So we always appreciate that type of... I'm going to pull up his name. Mario Gutierrez. Thank you for reaching out to us.
Thanks, Mario.
You sent us some audio. We appreciate that type of feedback. And hopefully we have that resolved for you for the next podcast. I think we should. Or this one right here. So thank you. And who's fixing that and works diligently to have a great podcast product is our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J. Kid J.
What the? Oh, my God.
But nonetheless, yeah. So thank you to our producer, Kid J, for doing such a great job. And thank you to our listeners who always appreciate you. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast as well. Greatly appreciate them. We'll be back we'll be recording the night after the game. So on Thursday night, we'll be recording and get this podcast ready for you Friday morning. And we'll be reacting to that game. Maybe we'll do some live stuff, some live reactions during the game. I don't know, on the social medias, but. Either way, it's going to just be a lot of fun.
So much fun.
Grab your Kool-Aid on Thursday night. It's going to be a blast watching this Lions team play in front of
beat the Chiefs.
70 million people usually tune into this game. So it's going to be the Lions' biggest, Lions even more than Thanksgiving. I think people watch this game. But thank you, everybody. We look forward to seeing what this Lions team can do on Thursday night. We look forward to you tuning back in Friday for our thoughts on the game and throughout this season. So we thank you to listeners. And last but not least, as always,
go
forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.